Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Last summer, took on the CEO role. So it's been about 8 months. And
amazing.
Fast and furious, especially given where we are right now with COVID and our response and the need to completely change our model. But it's been a journey for sure, but one I wouldn't trade.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to jump right into our introduction here by saying, hello, this is Mickey Desai. I'm your host for this special episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm very lucky to be speaking with Lauren Kuntz today. Lauren is the president and CEO at YMCA of Metro Atlanta. She's been in the CEO seat for not quite a year yet, and you have had one heck of a year, I would imagine. And now with COVID-19 affecting operations, Lauren, what would you say has been the best part of the job so far and the toughest part of the job so far?
The toughest part of the job has certainly been before the COVID piece. I would say, you know, it's really important when a new leader comes in, you're creating a new culture in many ways. And so it hasn't, I don't know if it was the toughest part, but it was certainly very rewarding to listen to our team members, to listen to the community and begin to really think about how is the Y going to continue to show up and be a relevant community anchor institution. One of the things I love about this organization is that our mission to build healthy mind, body, and spirit has not fundamentally changed in 160 plus years of serving Atlanta. But what must change is we have to continually be thinking about how we will adapt and evolve to meet changing and critical community needs so that the Y continues to be a meaningful community partner and relevant in the services and programs that we're offering. So I love that process. I love listening. I love understanding. I love talking with members, with community leaders, with partners to really understand how we can be that organization. So we were really deep in that work before we needed to pivot as it related to our operations and what we're doing for COVID. So I would say the thing that's been, you know, anytime you step into a new role, there's a level of learning, you know, even if you are like I was an internal candidate and I'd been with the organization for 7+ years when I took on the role, you think that you know everything, maybe just because of osmosis, but until you're sitting in that chair and the responsibility is squarely on your shoulders, I don't think you can fully understand the gravity of the decisions that you make. And so I think that's a quick lesson that anyone who steps into this learns. So that's tough, but it's necessary. It's humbling. But I think what's been really exciting is watching our team members really respond to how we're talking about how this why will continue to adapt and evolve to meet needs, and how they will continue to adapt and evolve in terms of their skill sets and how they do their work. So it's, you know, we're challenging people even before we needed to pivot around the COVID response. We were challenging them, but I think what's been really gratifying is how excited people are to meet those needs
and to overcome those challenges, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So thinking in three different directions once here. I mean, first of all, every organization is different. Every organization has its own cultural strengths and gifts to bring to crises, I think. And how do you do that with YMCA? How do you foster the culture of excellence that leaves your staff in a position to be able to proactively pivot when they need to pivot?
Well, I think one of the challenges of the Y, not just here in Atlanta, but quite frankly across the country, maybe even globally, is that so many people think of the YMCA as kind of a quote unquote swim and gym, right? You think of the Y in whatever piece that you have personally touched it or how you've utilized it, right? So if your child goes to an after school program, you may think of it that way. If you go to a class at a Y, I think the bigger challenge that we've always faced, especially since the wellness piece of the YMCA work really blew up many, many years ago, is helping the larger community understand who we really are and what we really do, and that wellness is one piece of that. And so people that come into YMCA work, you know, they're coming into a variety of different roles. So they may come in through wellness or membership programming. They may come in through aquatics. They may come in through after school or day camp or youth sports. But there is a common thread in what I have seen with YMCA employees, and there is this real desire to serve. And I think they really do understand that they have to wear multiple hats. Like any nonprofit, we, you know, have limited resources. We have limited staff. Even a nonprofit that has earned revenue through our membership and program fees, you know, we always have constraints and limitations like any nonprofit organization does. And so all of our staff really have to wear different hats on any given day and, you know, jump between working in a play center in a Y to going over and dealing with, you know, a member joining or talking with a parent about an after school program. So by function of being an organization that does lots of different things and asking our staff, even in kind of normal business as usual, to wear those many hats, I think it's prepared them to pivot in this moment and really take on different roles. I have been, just in the past couple of weeks, as you know, we've been talking about coronavirus since January, but you know, really standing up our crisis management team over the last 2 to 3 weeks, I think that's been amazing to watch all of our employees absolutely raise their hand and say, okay, well, you know, our YMCAs are closed for normal branch operations. Our programs are not running right now. So how are we going to serve? And, you know, having teen directors and after school directors saying, raising their hands and saying, yes, I'll go work in emergency childcare for hospital employees and first responders. That's the kind of people that I think are attracted to the work that we do. They really do feel compelled to serve, and they have a bias towards action. They want to get out there and they want to help, and they're really open to doing it in any way that we need them to.
It's just amazing and speaks volumes about the kind of people that you get to work with at the Y. Can you give us some examples? Can you think of anything specific that your organization has done to help you cope with the current situation?
Well, I think one of the things, just in terms of employee morale, I think a couple weeks ago, as we began to really mobilize and think about, okay, we're going to have to close our branches, we're going to have to close our after-school sites and our early learning centers in accordance with school district closures and what we're hearing from local leaders from a health and a government perspective, we really began to mobilize and think, okay, how does the Y show up right now? What do we do to help? And I think that time was really generative and people really were leaning into that. It was scary, but it was a bit exciting because we could all kind of come together and say, you know, what are we going to do? And then last week, as we really began to stand up those programs, you know, launching the emergency childcare for hospital employees and first responders. And really now we're expanding it to grocery store workers, folks that are stocking warehouses. I mean, these are people who, whether there's a shelter in place order or not, or they can't work remotely to keep all of, you know, the services that we all need going. So we're expanding our childcare to serve those as we began to work with the Atlanta Community Food Bank and other regional food providers. We're offering meals and backpacks of food at 5 of our different locations and have been doing that since last Tuesday. We're reaching out to all of the seniors in our communities and just calling them and saying, how are you doing? I had a staff member who just broke down yesterday recalling that she called a senior and the person just got so emotional and said, nobody's calling me. No one's checking on me. And my Y called me just to say hi, just to see how I was doing. We're having conversations with blood banks and others about, you know, they can't use their mobile units because of social distancing. So can they use YMCA facilities that we're not currently using for childcare? The we're trying to just figure out where are those critical needs that we can step in and safely, effectively serve those who need us. You know, that's what we're doing. But as we, you know, kind of got into all of that work last week, again, there was a lot of energy, there was a lot of purpose. Our leaders and all of our team members were really excited about it. And I got up yesterday on Monday, and I really expected that same level of positivity and energy and excitement. And something happened about 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, about 30 of us were on a Zoom call working through the logistics of all of these things. And I was just watching the faces of all of our team members, and they just looked so drained and so fatigued and so defeated. And, you know, the reality is we're packing in a week's worth into every single day right now. And it feels like Groundhog Day. It feels like we're getting up and getting in front of our computers at 7 a.m. and staying on calls and meetings until, you know, 7 p.m. And people are tired. And I looked at them, I said, you know what, let's stop. Let's just stop for a second. We're going to come back to the logistics in 20 minutes. I said, why don't we just have a fun conversation and just say, you know, what was your panic purchase last week when you weren't the rational YMCA planning for the logistics of standing up critical programs? What was your panic purchase when you acted like, you know, just, oh my gosh, you know? And people were just sharing the really funny stories. You know, one person said, I went out and got a trampoline because I was so scared because I was going to have to work from home and my kids are going to be in the house and they're young. I mean, it was a really cathartic moment that I think we all needed, and everybody laughed, and we shared, and people were sending, you know, emails to one another saying like, oh, I got this at this site. And I think as leaders right now, we really need to take care of our staff, because everyone is running hard and fast and they're tired, and, you know, we're in this for the long haul. And so I think, you know, I would just encourage leaders that are listening to this, really keep your team members' morale and find those spaces daily to, you know, have really positive conversations and encourage laughter and support of one another, because it's really critical to do this type of work.
I think you're absolutely right. And I'm glad you said that. I'm sort of at a loss for how to underline that. And it is just so critically important to remember the humanity during times of crisis. And it shocks me also to find out that your folks are finding elderly folks who don't get called by anyone else. That just breaks my heart and alarms me all at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, social isolation is such a real thing. And, you know, especially for seniors, there's a lot of people that come to the Y who have literally no interest in working out. They want to sit in the lobby, have a cup of coffee, and connect with someone. And, you know, we actually pulled the lists of all of our seniors, and we started looking at by location who uses us the most. And we started with that person who comes in every single day at every location, and to call them and say, hey, we miss you. We miss seeing you. We can't wait to see you again. How you doing? Do you have everything you need? Because we know that we're an extension of their family. And, you know, one of the things that I think I talked earlier about, you know, the healthy mind, body, and spirit piece. And one of the questions that I will continue to kind of think about is, what does healthy mind, body, and spirit mean for the YMCA in 2020 and beyond as we continue to adapt and evolve? But, you know, right now we're sending out every single morning. We started last Monday, a healthy at home e-newsletter. So we're sending out, you know, we're still recording our spin instructors or our yoga instructors doing live classes. There's not anybody in them, but they're doing classes and we're sending them out to people. We're giving homework tips for kids, ways that people can stay engaged, you know, gardening, anything we can think of and anything we can source in terms of content to give people the opportunity to find new and fresh ways to stay connected to one another or do things in their home with their kids. There's a special section for seniors in terms of content. But I think the question that's really beginning to nag at me now that we've, you know, are working through kind of standing up those critical programs is really the spirit piece of this in terms of supporting people's mental health. I think with a sense of isolation and a sense of kind of days running together, we really all have to think about how do we actively help our communities feel safe and supported and support the mental health needs of everyone in the community. And that's not just seniors. I'm thinking that about that from a child's perspective. I have two teenagers, and, you know, as an adult, you know, I'm able to process what's happening, and it's still really hard. So it's, you know, even being an adult and processing everything that we're hearing on the news and kind of living through, is today Thursday? Is today Friday? What's today? You know, I'm, as an adult, able to process that and work through the anxiety and have purpose around what we're doing. But I really do worry about children and teenagers and how they're processing this. And it, you know, that's another piece of how do we, as organizations in this space, provide the social support, that network to connect with parents and give them the resources they need to talk to their kids and to help kids not be so scared and anxious during this time. So I think, you know, between kids and families and seniors, there's a lot of work to do to help support people from a mental health and a social support perspective right now.
Mm-hmm. Lauren, this is just amazing. I can't thank you enough for sharing your story with me and with the audience. We're almost out of time. If it were appropriate and a listener wanted to ask you questions, how would they get in touch with you?
Great question. I'm trying to think about the best way to do that. I would love for them to connect with me on social media, mm-hmm. either through LinkedIn or Twitter.
Okay. On LinkedIn, you're Lauren Kuntz. And on Twitter, what's your Twitter handle?
I need to look at that. I don't have it off the top of my head. I'll send it to you. Can I send it to you?
Yeah, sure. I'll put that in the show notes.
Okay.
And, is there any general advice you would have for other leaders and other nonprofit professionals as we get deeper into pandemic?
I think in a time of crisis, we are all taken out of our comfort zones and we have to move into a creative zone. And the silver lining right now, and I think it's so important to try to find them, but the silver lining for me right now is how will we take this opportunity and think creatively about what types of programs and services we will provide now, but also on the other side of this and in the future? And how do we take what we learn during a very difficult and uncertain time and use that for good to better serve our communities moving forward? So I would encourage people to get into a creative space. And I know it's so hard because every hour of every day feels like you're in a responsive mode or you're proactively planning for what's happening with this crisis. And none of us do it enough. But if you can carve out, you know, 30 minutes to go on a walk, or, you know, if your best thinking happens in the shower, just challenge yourself and your teams to really think creatively and then to learn from that and listen to one another. Cause I just don't think there's any bad ideas right now.
I think that's exactly right. And I'm glad you said that, and can't thank you enough for taking the time to have this conversation with me today.
Thanks, Nikki. It's been a pleasure.
And to our audience, if you have any other suggestions about things we might cover during times of crisis, we definitely want to hear from you. You can always contact us via the Nonprofit Snapcast website. That's nonprofitsnapcast.org, or via Facebook. Just search for Nonprofit Snapcast and find us there. In the meantime, we'll be back with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.